Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live. You see Clint there having a good hair day. You see Tyler right there as well, who, I'll be honest, folks, I've been worried about Tyler.
You should have been. Pretty crappy weekend.
Ron, the visual of Tyler right now says you should be worried about him, and you were in the right spot being worried about him this weekend. Looks like he's been rode hard and put up wet.
Clint, I told you.
Frying that turkey either. Don't blame it on that damn turkey, Tyler.
If Tyler would have come in with his eyebrow shaved, I wouldn't have been surprised at all. I wouldn't have thought anything different. Because, Clint, I said it to you when I saw you in the press box at the start of the game, coming off a Saturday night, and what happened in the Plains. I said, boy, I'm worried about Tyler. And then the way this game was going, I said, oh, God. And then I see a post about 4 hours ago from Tyler who has Will Levis doing that full split on those mayonnaise bottles. And that, I think that may have taken him over the top.
Yeah, that guy. That's the guy that came in NRG yesterday and beat your ass. That's the guy. Yep.
It is detailed.
First AFC South win ever for old Will Levis.
There it is.
Gotta love it.
Nah, yeah, I was worried about you, man. And listen, you'll be able to let it out. Many of you will be able to let it out as well. Those of you on our 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, 5-Hour Energy Fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, fire away as well, as we love to hear from you. Mind you, a lot of this show is going to be with our guy, D'Amico Ryans, the head coach. He is coming up at 3 o'clock sharp. I don't know if it's at 3 o'clock sharp, but that's around the time we expect to hear from him, and we will carry that live. Remember, it is Monday, so the D'Amico Ryans coaches show will take over at 5 o'clock. So make sure you program that to hear what he's got to say. So you'll hear from him multiple times during the show and then right after our show, Clint. And I would imagine he will be talking about this latest breaking news, and it is not good news. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll get your all's thoughts on this. And again, Clint, I continue to be worried about Tyler as more of this news continues to circulate. An MRI that was conducted on Jalen Petrie, who had left the game, which was called a shoulder issue, It is a tear of the pec, not a full tear, according to Aaron Wilson. But Jalen Petrie had an MRI conducted, and they will check to see if surgery will be something that is needed. This from Tom Pelissero, that Texans standout safety Jalen Petrie is expected to miss multiple weeks in a partial pec tear suffered in the game on Sunday. As we said, no surgery as of now, but they will determine that on a later date. And listen, since that Jets game where I would say Clinny was put in bad situations, he has been one of the best players, if not the best player on the defense. He has impacted the game in an amazing way. And they, when I say they, D'Amico and Coach Burke have done really good things to put him in the best positions possible. And now it looks like reports are he may be gone for an extended period of time.
Yeah, this is rough. I mean, this is one fan favorite, great dude. I mean, gives you everything he's got, and the only complaint you have about him is the inability to do certain things over the years, whether it be at safety or nickel defender. You know, the play is all that you have really to ever say negative about this guy. And that's not to say his play is negative, just it's hard to play this game and not have negative moments, and especially as close as we cover it. So a fan favorite that plays the game the way you want him to play the game, that is easy to root for. And when those guys get injured, even when you're in a pissed off state that most fans are and should be after a Tennessee loss, you got a feel for Jalen Petrie. And then you jump to the player. As you mentioned, this is a guy that was trending in the right direction, a guy that has always had tremendous instincts, was using those instincts, making impact plays. I'll argue even over the last couple of years, he was in position to make big-time impact plays that would have shifted the outlook on who he is as a player, but he didn't always make those plays, right? And so it ended up being a negative. He was trending in a way this year where he was making more of those plays than he was missing. He was starting to get the love that he deserves. And to see him go out is tough, given the fact that he was trending in the right direction. And then you just look at it as a team, and you look at the nickel defender position. Once again, the Texans, I don't know why. While we spend a lot of time applauding D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio for what they've done, this nickel position has been a real doozy, man. You just let a guy like Dez King go, and I believe he's now with Baltimore.
He's with the Ravens.
Unless Baltimore's let him go recently, he's with the Ravens. And you let him go, and now you're in a spot again where you got to bring Jimmy Ward out of his normal position of safety and bring him down and have him play nickel, which when he got here, he said he didn't really enjoy doing. He wanted to play safety, and now he's right back in that position of having to play that. And there were better options out there within your organization. And for some reason, we're sitting here again trying to figure out what they're going to do with the cover defenders. So hate to see it for the player. Hate to see it for the trajectory the player was on. And the real what matters, Ron, obviously, is moving forward. What does this look like for the Texans? And they've got cover defender problems once again.
Yeah, you said what Jimmy Ward may slide down, and they'll have Jimmy Ward, Eric Murray, and Bullock on the field all the time now with this injury. So yeah, that'll be interesting, because Jeff Okuda didn't dress yesterday. He was inactive and didn't show that the slot seemed to be his deal in the short period of time he got in Dallas.
Yeah, he looked like hell. Kadar Holman got hurt yesterday. I don't know what's going. You know, I haven't seen the extent of what happened to him. He is a guy that D'Amico has relied on in the past. But now, I mean, all of a sudden you've got depth issues at safety, and you've got where, I mean, I just don't, Ron, you and I have talked about this, and look, we are clearly Dez King guys. I do understand, however, that Dez King has some issues, what I believe, I've been led to believe, are off the field, that just don't align with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. Which typically you would say, okay, well, they're gonna let last year when they released him, when we were all going, what the hell are they doing at cut date, they released him, right? You let that go the other direction, but you keep flirting with the guy. You keep bringing the guy in. You keep taking whatever risk is associated with him being on your team and him not buying in and him having some issues off the field. Whatever risk is associated, you're willing to take those time and time and time again, and then you you let the guy go at a time when, hell, he should have been playing, if we're being honest, to some degree should have been playing. But you let him go, and literally within 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, I mean, hell, 8 days, you're at a spot where you desperately need that guy to keep this secondary together right now. And so
it feels similar to the Cam Akers situation, to where you cut a guy loose that felt like he at times should have been higher up on the depth chart, and then you cut him loose, and then bam, you're back up. And Damian Pierce gets hurt again, and you're stuck without having his services and needing a backup running back. This in a similar vein.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, now Cam Akers, to be clear, Cam Akers, I don't believe has any off the field issues that would steer Nick and D'Amico from him.
Yeah, just strictly meaning you cut football. Him loose when you.
Yeah. I mean, like it's, to me on the outside, it's. I mean, it's one of those that it just doesn't. There's no. It doesn't make sense. There's no rhyme or reason other than there's clearly a blind spot for Damian Pierce with this football team at the running back position. And for whatever reason, they don't see it. Now injuries have also played into it at this point as well. And, you know, you got a guy in Cam Akers that was at the very least, whether you're a fan or not, is a very, very good backup to Joe Mixon. Cause now not only are you without Cam Akers, now Joe Mixon is having to play more and more snaps than you would like for him to play. So, that's very similar. Those are the two moves with two guys this season that you're just they're head scratchers when they happen.
When it happened, and now they're biting
your ass.
Yeah. All right. I do want to hear. We got a lot to get to. I do want to hear from the people on this one because I thought Clint, you brought up an interesting thought, and I'm really intrigued to see where you are on this. And this to the people as well. Those of you. On the text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, go ahead and jump in on this. Where are you at on this with the team right now? Are you in the place where you're closer to the point of, hey, it's a long season that has ups and downs, and the Texans are just in a really strong down right now, but things can get turned around and fixed and can compete at the level you think? Or are you closer to, man... Now, Jalen Petrie's injury is just the latest piece into this thing falling apart. The sky is falling. Where are you on that? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, Clint, I don't know about you, man. I feel like I'm getting by the day closer and closer to the sky is falling portion of this thing.
Hell, I'm in the sky is falling pool and I'm in the deep end. I'm telling you.
Oh my God.
It is tough to look at this stretch right now and watch the way they're playing and what they're doing and what has happened to the team and be in the, hey, they can get this thing fixed territory.
Well, Ron, here's the thing, Ron, is that this shouldn't surprise anybody, right? And I don't mean the loss to Tennessee should surprise everybody, but the outcome of what we've watched unfold. I mean, I've been hammered on social media. By the way, at Clint Sterner on Twitter, at Clint Sterner on Instagram, I'd greatly appreciate the follow right there. But I've been hammered on social media for wanting D'Amico Ryans to not be Mr. Nice Guy, for wanting C.J. Stroud to quit talking about joy and happy and be and have fun and all this kind of crap, right? I've been begging for Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans to talk about the lack of physicality on this offensive line and the real issues that are there. Time and time and time again, and now again, everybody. Oh, what do you want them to say? Look, here's the deal: is I don't give a damn what they say to us. What I want to see is I want to see a product, a football product that is the Houston Texans. That it is blatantly obvious that these guys have been held accountable. That these guys are going to be disciplined and not get 9 penalties for 83 yards in the second half of a game that you should have skull drugged the Tennessee Titans, right? The same issues that we were having 2 months ago, we're having with the Texans right now. The same damn problems. You know what that is? You're either coaching it or you're allowing it. Like I said back then, what do you want? What do you want them to say? I want somebody to step up there and quit talking about, oh, well, we're doing the same things in the second half that we're doing in the first half. It's all execution. Figure it out, right? And when you don't do that, when you go about your business as, well, It's a long season, man. One game at a time. We're on to the next. We're happy to be here. We're lucky to have this opportunity to play football for a living, right? When you take that kind of approach, you look up and you're running out of time and no problems have been fixed. No problems have been solved, right? And it's just that is why I absolutely hate the way that they approach things. And again, I'm not even talking about necessarily what they tell us. The problem is what they tell us mirrors exactly what happens on the field. So you look at it and you go, either the team is getting the same message that we're getting and everything's going to be okay. And hey, Laramie, hey, Titus, don't worry about it, man. You're going to be all right. Hey, Shaq Mason, don't worry about it, man. We're going to be just fine, right? It's a long season. We'll get this figured out. We just got to execute better. And they're going out there and doing the same stuff over and over again. Or, right, which that's pissy poor. Or there is D'Amico is putting his foot down and he's holding these guys accountable and he's preaching physicality and he's preaching strain and he's preaching finish and they're going out there and not doing it and they're not being held accountable. Like, which one is it? Take your pick. They're both negative. You can't win football games like that in the NFL. You can culture your way to 8 or 9 wins, and I think they do that. I think they find a way to get to 8 or 9 wins.
Well, they better win one more.
after yesterday's performance, where you're at on that?
You're right.
I mean, how many games they got left? What are we, 7-5? What is that, 12 games?
Well, yeah, they got five.
They got five left. What do you got? Jacksonville, Tennessee, Miami, Kansas City, and Baltimore?
Yeah.
Hey, I hate to break it to you, but
they're capable of losing all of those.
You're damn right.
If you look at it, they just lost to Tennessee at home, so they're capable. They better not lose no damn Mac Jones. But they just lost to Mayonnaise.
Bingo. If you came to me a week ago and said, "Hey, man, you got to bet a house payment on it. Does this team lose to Mac Jones? They're going to lose to one. Do they lose to Mac Jones or Will Levis?" I'd say Mac Jones 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Because Mac has the ability to check down you to a bunch of field goals and beat you. I didn't think there was any way in hell Will Levis was going to quarterback this football team to explosives to beat you. I didn't.
But he did go full Will Levis and still.
Oh, he tried.
Their special teams did too.
I don't know who tried more better or harder. I don't know who gets the game ball. Will Levis or the special teams.
They were trying to work with you. I'm seeing a lot of people here, as we said, where are you at? Are you the deep end? Or are you still in a space that there is some belief that they can kind of get this thing right? Someone texted in and said, hell, I'm deep in the deep end, right with you, Clint.
Somebody will throw us a noodle and a Coors Light. We'll be all right.
The sky is falling, and CJ looks like he's turned out. He is turned out with his OC. The head coach is communicating too much and not enough to the coordinators. I think they can get things right after the bye. Someone texted in. It does look like a lot of people are pushing this thing to playoffs and done. I'm interested. Someone just texted in, deep end show. It's Ron. But I'm curious. Let's get where Mr. the most positive person I can think of. Tyler, I know you're struggling, and maybe this ain't the best day to do it with you.
Because
maybe Tyler needs a day. Are you in the deep end?
I mean, what's the deep end?
Are you knowing that
we were sold BS with what's going on with this football team in our town right now?
I'm
off in the hell of a big part of the deep end. Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't get the sense there's turning this thing around.
Not right now. Hell no.
Hey, T.
Why would I? Hey, T. Like, why no would life any jacket. Of you? And I like to be the optimist, and I like to think of myself that I hold some optimism on most things.
But
why would anyone who isn't insane, like, why would you think that right now? Why would your mind work in such a way to where you would think, yep, after this bye week, we're going? No, there's nothing good that came out of yesterday except for a defense that got 8 sacks. You still couldn't get the dub, and your defense is going to be exhausted one more game into this season. So, I ain't got a lot of good to say.
God dang. The Texans and Austin lost Tyler right here.
Let me tell you where T's at right now, Ron. We done got on that Guadalupe River. It's about a 5 to 6 hour float. And over that first little waterfall, our our cooler that had our, I mean, the tube that had our ice chest in it flipped over, and there was a bunch of them scoundrels down there with masks, and they were stealing our beer and everything. So we're down to about a six-pack with 5 hours to go. And then we get about another hour into it, and Tyler's inner tube pops. So now we're no beer and a popped inner tube. Somehow we got to get 3-4 more hours down this.
Hey, but you know that tube's fixable, man.
Yeah, and somebody from the shore is yelling at you, "Hey, I can fix that tube for about
some duct tape over here, bro."
Things are fixable.
Hey, bad. Tyler's in a bad spot now.
I knew it. I could feel it. I didn't even need to be there.
Is there a worse place to be in though, Tyler? Right there, 6 hour, about a 6 hour float. Drop your beer over the first waterfall, and then your inner tube, somebody's inner tube in your group, and not a female, by the way. We've had that happen with a female, and it was actually turned out really well for you, boy. But when it's not a female, it's one of your buddy's tubes pops.
Oh, awful.
That is terrible.
And it's steaming ass hot outside.
The only thing make it worse is if about another hour into it, it's cloudy and it starts to rain a little bit, and that cold ass river is tearing you up. Oh, yeah. Texans are in a bad spot. I'm in a bad spot, Ronnie.
Lord, Tyler, you lose Tyler, boy, you're in a bad spot. All right, let's hear from Jimmy Ward, a guy on the team, and what he had to say to Sean and Clint yesterday. Do you think he's right, or do you think he's delusional? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into this Reaction Monday as we are reacting to a really just almost unbelievable, hard to fathom loss yesterday from the Texans.
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
They might have, Jim. To what we expected them to be and to what the Titans are. But as I said, I'm worried about Tyler, worried about many of you. This has been tough. I'm seeing some people on the text line talking about I've been a fan since I was 6. I'm 29 now, and I'm just numb and have to laugh to keep from crying. And, you know, there's more now. I'm worried about Clint now at this point. As we look, Clint, you know we lost Kikuchi.
Yes, I saw that. We lost Kikuchi to Cali.
And he's now he's in the division. So now you got to root against that Kikuchi.
That's all right. I mean, we've all turned on good Kikuchi before.
Yeah, but that means
or
that
it's
you wanted
us, I guess.
Didn't mean that you wanted to.
Fair.
And well, that was fun. And so you lost Kikuchi too, as well as he is going to be
fun while it lasted, boys.
It was with the LA Angels. So just a rough. Rough weekend, but you got a chance, you and Sean in the post-game show, got a chance to sit down with Jimmy Ward, who had a big game. You may hear him a little bit later on the show as he had at least a big moment in the game where he gets a pick six and D'Amico looked like he was going to beat him down the sideline to the end zone on that pick six. So a huge play to give the Texans a lead there, which felt like the game had changed and that they potentially would get out of there with a dub after that. Until the next offensive play for the Titans. But he talked about, and I know you guys talked to him about this, talked about maybe what potentially or the issues when they're playing in these games and playing in a game like they played yesterday against the Titans.
Starts from the top. Starts from captains. Starts from the vets. It's just got us. We got to play good, first of all. We got to play good. And then we got to start calling people out. We've got to have our, that's just how it goes. We got to have our own only players meeting. We had a few of those already. Probably going to have another one and just, you know, try to see what's going on, man. Like, we can't, I feel like, I don't like to say this, but we I feel like we play down to our competition at times. Like throughout this year, when I've been looking at it, it's like I don't know what it is. We've just been taking some of these guys lightly, especially in the first half. Well, no, take that back. It was the second half slump that we was doing over the last few weeks. But this week, it's like we woke up and it was the second half. Like we can't do that. That's losing football.
All right, Clint, I'm gonna let you go here.
Yeah, don't say, Jimmy.
I'm going to let you go here, Clint, but, brother, I can tell you right now, I don't need another damn players only.
Good God.
We don't need four. Hell, you just said we'd had a few of them. I know you led about it. I know you called at least two of them. Don't need another one. The four team meetings in a month. not just team, players-only meetings in a month is a little over the top. Maybe that's not the solution to the problem. But when you hear that, it seems to him it's his truth, but do you get the sense that they played down to their competition the way he kind of talked about that?
Absolutely. I mean, how the hell else do you explain what's going on? I mean, now you can take that whatever direction you'd like to take it however you want to take it, but there's no doubt yesterday for damn sure they played down to their opponent's ability, to their opponent's standard, and it's unacceptable. The reality of Jimmy Ward last night in the postgame presser is the most refreshing, the most, I think, real communications that we've heard come out of this organization. And the truth of the matter is, Ron, I mean, as much as I greatly appreciate Jimmy Ward being honest, the truth of the matter is the Texans are not a very good football team, and they do things on and off the field that losing football teams do. And it's blatant, like you know, the whole feel good stuff that you get out of D'Amico and Nick and CJ and all that. Like that's all smoke and mirrors, man. That's why it's so silly to continue through hard times and really at all to live by this, oh, we're just always going to be positive to protect everybody approach to the media or to any to your fan base or anything like that, is because the minute something like this comes out, is, you know, it's blatantly obvious how real it is. And so I just, it's refreshing to hear somebody just flat out be authentic and real about what's going on in the organization, because I think everybody can see the things that Jimmy Ward talked about. I think everybody can understand when you're having multiple players only meetings, like you got real problems. Like it's not everything's not just
three in a month.
Yeah, everything's not and need another one. Everything's not just hunky dory and boy, everything's fixable, right? When you're playing down to your opponent in the worst division in football, there's obviously major problems. We saw that happen yesterday, right? Taking teams lightly. I mean, it's just it's refreshing to hear Jimmy Ward, you know, be so transparent yesterday and say the things that are so blatantly obvious about this football team.
Fellas, my thing with this is, I want to go with them a bit, but when I just start saying stuff out loud, like their offensive line sucks. They can't pass protect. Like when I say can't pass protect, like struggles in a major, major way that is just beneath NFL teams. Even the bad ones, they can only run the ball with one player, and that's not always the case, as we've seen two out of the last 3 weeks. Their quarterback is become up and down and just got outperformed by Will Levis and has struggled, especially the last several weeks. They've had a ton of injuries. They give up explosive plays. At least, if not they give up explosive plays, Clint, they have given up the opportunity for a lot of explosive plays that also weren't completed, and that has been since the first game of the season against the Colts. Like, they just – and they are got to be up there, Clint, as one of the most penalized teams in football. They had their most the most of the year on Sunday, and that comes off the heels of having reset that multiple times. They had about four or five games early in the season where they had double-digit penalties, and yesterday was the most. I almost wonder how much they're playing down to their competition if maybe they just ain't – they're a little closer to this competition that they're playing. To me, when you just start saying all of those things out loud, like, I mean, I'll give it. I cannot believe they lost that game yesterday. But, boy, when you start saying stuff out loud, bad O-line, skittish quarterback right now, not discipline, gives up big plays. I don't know how many –
penalties, you know, add that to the list.
Yeah, discipline. That's just not discipline. I don't know, man. They're closer to the Titans than they are to the place that they want to be. And I think they're better than the Titans, but man, they do a lot of things that teams like the Titans do. All right, coming up, we do it every single day after the game the Texans play. C.J. Stroud's great. What was C.J. Stroud's grade in yesterday's game? 20 of 33, 247, two touchdown passes, two interceptions, passer rating of 78, and had 18 rush yards. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? We'll discuss that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up next,
it's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ under immediate pressure, looking, throwing over the middle, and intercepted at the 45-yard line and brought down at the 39-yard line. Murray, and there's a flag down in the backfield.
Yeah, it's going to be a hold, so the interception will stand. Tennessee,
you're going to have offense number 71. That penalty is declined. Results of the play is an interception by the defense. First down.
All right, that was the second interception there for C.J. Stroud, as he had two of them. And we like to do this. Remember, coming up here in just a bit around 3 o'clock, we look to hear and carry it live from D'Amico Ryans. But what is your grade for C.J.? What is your grade for C.J. Yesterday? Rough outing, if you didn't know the numbers again, 20 of 33, 247. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. One interception to just completely set up the Titans to score in the red zone. And then another one later on in the second half. 18 rush yards, passer rating of 78. And into context, Will Levis with his game, his passer rating was 123. So your grade for C.J. Stroud, Clint?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a D here. You look at really kind of how the game played out. I mean, you had a couple of drives that ended in points. I mean, reality is you were given a short field twice. One of them ended up in a field goal. One ended up in a touchdown. And from there wasn't a whole lot to positives, if you will. But you mentioned the two interceptions that were just extremely costly, and if you look at the way in which the interceptions happen, one of them he clearly explained explain both of them in the post game presser, but one of them, he's throwing a spot route to John Metchie and he can't seem, so he throws it blind and he's backed up in that situation. You just can't do that. It happens. Like, there, I don't know how much he's protecting John Metchie, and John Metchie may have not sat down in the window. It appeared that Metchie sat down and CJ expected him to keep going. Yeah, but I mean, he may be protecting him, but based off of what he told us, that's a major, major issue. You just can't take that. You can't be throwing the ball blindly, backed up in your own territory with the game on the line like that. I love the aggression. I love the Bobby Slowick and D'Amico and even CJ's confidence and trusting and just saying, let's go, man. Let's go score some points. I love that. But as a quarterback, you can't turn the football over in that situation, especially throwing up what should be a 100, a 10 out of 10 times, 100% completion right there, the way the defense played it. And then the second interception, you know, he said all he's got to do is get a little more air on it and get it over that linebacker. And while that's true, as we're watching it unfold, I'll argue that that's what gets this offense in trouble. And not necessarily talking interceptions, but that's what gets this offense in trouble is you're max protecting, you're throwing a deep dig, the linebacker gets depth at 20 yards damn near, and is running stride for stride with your receiver. The to attempt that throw is going to get you in trouble more times than not. So I think both of those are big time negatives. And then Ron, at some point we have got to, there's got to be a CJ accountability with this offense. 9 penalties in the second half for 83 yards, right? At some point, I don't care who's responsible for what, at some point you got to look at the quarterback and say, hey man, it's week 12. You know, it's week 12. Like if somebody else isn't getting in these guys' ass and getting it corrected, then you've got to get it corrected. At some point, it's your offense. You're on the field with them. You got to get that right. In the second half, 29 plays, 54 total yards. 29 plays, 54 total yards. That at some point we've got to look at the quarterback and say, hey, this is a major issue at the quarterback position as well. As everything else around him, not minimizing anything else going on around him, but that has to be a real problem. At some point in time, the great quarterbacks, that they got to fix that. Even if the pieces around, the people around them aren't going to, they've got to make it right. They've got to fix it. And CJ has yet to do that. So then you look at the critical situations. We talked about the end of the first half. If you look at the end of the game, not being able to get that offense going in those situations, this is there's problems with CJ. I think there's trust and confidence problems with CJ, with Bobby Slowick, and with D'Amico Ryans. And I'm talking about all in CJ Stroud. I'm talking about all these from the perspective of the quarterback, because that's our conversation. I think D'Amico and Bobby and CJ himself all have trust and confidence issues going on right now with the quarterback. And I think it showed yesterday. So I can't get above a D, man. I'm gonna stick with a good solid D, not a D plus, not a D minus, good solid D.
Text line coming through. CJ's grade F plus, C minus, D plus, F absolute garbage. CJ grade C minus. What else can you give him? I want to give him a D. Horrible plays, but I'm going with a C minus. C minus. Listen, I am so tempted to give him an F.
Hold on, so
because that was just awful yesterday.
His line up with CJ.
You just can't help him. You can't match Will Levis with his Will Levis like plays. And I know you just talked about the interception, so I'm not going to, you know, just continue to harp on that. But it's also the misses. He has had blatant misses that would have extended drives, just easy throws that would have extended drives. I don't know if you talked about it on the post game yesterday. He had Nico for a third down conversion that was easy as pie. Then he just threw it into the ground. And he had multiple misses like that, where it's just like, what in the world? And just decision-making. And I think a big thing is he is not instilling confidence in anybody with how he's going about his business and the way he is playing. So I'll go a D-minus because he did have 2 touchdown passes. That was a big throw in the back of the end zone to Nico. But for him, knowing he was playing against Will Levis, he made more mistakes than Will Levis did. And that's just what you couldn't do to help him. All right, coming up, let's hear from the head coach, hopefully. We'll take off here, and D'Amico Ryans has had a little time to look at the film. We'll hear from him as he addresses things, and hopefully we'll hear what he's got to say on the latest of Jalen Petrie and that injury. All of that is coming up next right here live on The Drive.